Again, we thank you, Father, for this time that you allow me to stand here before these your people, Brother Larry, and just to do a small bit of what I can do, okay? I'm not going to try to do it all the way that you do it, okay? Amen. But God is so good. I thank God for that and for this expression of his love and his kindness to us and his generosity of his spirit that he imparts unto us each day, that he allows us to get up and do some things here. And I'm just glad to be here this morning, that you thought enough for me to allow me to do this for you this morning. My wife told me on last week that I went overtime, okay? And so I've gotten Brother Mike to, if I happen to go overtime, just to kind of raise his hand. I try to keep a vigil on you, see which way I'm going, you know. But sometimes we as preachers, sometimes we can kind of get caught up in the moment of time, okay? We try to explain so many things, and so sometimes we don't really monitor time. And so I'm going to watch you, see if you just hold up your hand and say, you're over your time already. Amen. But my wife always trying to tell me when I'm doing too much of this. So you got to learn how to listen to your wife, okay, brother? Amen. But it's all in love. It's all in love. I hope I didn't bore you last week. Amen. But our topic for this week, I thought this would be, I know this is Father, so happy Father to each one of you who are here and those that had the potential of being fathers. We just want to pray God that be the kind of father that would be able to nurture along your children and whatever the case might be. And that's what it's all about. Mine's all grown and gone, okay? And I got great grands now, and so I leave them out there, let them monitor that. If I took care of mine while I was going to, they got to take care of theirs, okay? I'll just be on the sideline just to spoil them just a little bit. And then I send them back home, okay? What a great time you can be able to do that. Just spoil them and then send them back home. And let the parents have to deal with them, okay? Amen. But our topic for the day, found in Ephesians, which has already been read, that which we have in Christ. And I was just thinking about that, and I often try to bring something to the people's attention that are encouraging, as opposed to just blurting out some words here and there. So I strive to ask God to give me something that's just be kind of encouraging to people, because we are people that may be going through some difficulties, and sometimes we don't even say anything about those things, but sometimes we may be going through some things, and sometimes we may not understand where we are in our relationship and our walk with Christ and the benefits that we have received from him. Sometimes we have not gotten to that point, okay? Sometimes we just kind of take that kind of like a cavalier approach to things like that, but that's not it. We must be aware and understand that God has blessed us, and that's what the scripture is all about. Paul is talking to the church that at Ephesus, and so we want to deal with that. And I'm not going to try to explain all these terminology, the predestination, all that kind of stuff, and chosen, and all that. I'm going to leave that to your pastor, okay, to do that kind of stuff. I'm just going to fight and go leave, okay? No. Amen. As we think about this thought for today, this is Paul, the writer. He's writing to the church at Ephesus there, and many times Paul would write, and sometimes he would write with some sort of a, because he found something that was wrong in the church, and he would write to those particular specific things, and I was amazed when he's writing this epistle. I've done my studies, going back and forth to different kind of books and all that kind of stuff, and looking at it. I never saw that he had anything specific against this particular church. But if you turn back to the book of Acts and you turn up to Revelation, you find that he did talk about some things that on his third missionary journey that he went through, that he had some things against them at that particular point of time. But this particular time, he did not have anything specific to say about them that was negative. He only spoke from a positive perspective. So if you could kind of study that with me. And there was no condition in the church body. However, there's no condition mentioned for the writer to the church at Ephesus. As we talked about this, but such and the thing, but much material that I had on hand of the historian, none gave a hint of why Paul did not have anything specific to say about this church, but you can go back. So I say you can go back to the book of Acts. You can find some things right there. It was because the church was it because the church was a perfect church, or because there was no, because there, I say there is no such thing as a perfect church upon this earth. On the church that is in heaven, where we're going to make our final abode, that is a perfect church. That is a perfect church. But down here, then many things going to take place. Many conflicts going to come. Many things going to, problems going to happen in this local body. We call the local bodies down here. So things going to happen. Was it because the church was a perfect church? Not by my, and no doubt. No doubt such was the case. It was not the case because there is, as I said, there was no perfect church. But I did find in my searching, the word unity, the word unity. I looked and I said, now what's about this word unity? What's so special about this word unity? And it means that in that church there, there was Jews and Gentiles. And for some reason there seemed to have been a harmony. There had been some unity that was in this church that Paul did not find any reason to condemn them for anything, but they had unity. It is always a good thing to have unity in the body. That's what he's trying to get us to understand here in this lesson. So I did find, and I pondered that, what's all about that? And I saw that there was something in there that was very unique, and that was the fact that there was unity in the body. And I said, the word I believe is, they had all, one thing I thought about also is that they had all things in common. You find that in the book of Acts, that they had all things in common. And so this church seemed to have had all things, this is just seeming what I was studying, it seemed to have had all things in common, and there was nothing that was negative involved in it. In that particular church that caused Paul to be concerned about it. As I said, there were both Jews and Gentiles in this body. And this church, I believe that this church was a model church for the community at large. I believe that this church was served as a model for the other churches that was around them. And so that's what I got out of this picture that I was looking at it, because there were other churches that was involved that was in that particular area of the country. There were different churches, but it seemed like Ephesians stuck out as being the primary, being the principal church that pretty much had everything. And I gather that everything else was pulled to follow. But so this was kind of like a mother church. And everything kind of modeled after that. It's always good to have a church that you can model. Even in our own home, the father is supposed to be the model of the home. He give leadership to the home. And so on this being Father's Day, then I'm looking for, I know some of you already have raised your children and they're all gone, grown and gone. But then, you know, sometimes what I find, Pastor Mark, is that we never stop parenting. We always going to be parents, but we should somewhere down the line have to stop parenting, trying to tell our children where to do, where to go, and how to do, and everything else try to do it. Somewhere down the line, you're going to have to let somebody let you go, didn't they? You might win out kicking, and what the case might be, but you know, I was preaching a message some time ago. And let me kind of digress a little bit for a minute. And I was talking about to a church I used to pastor, and I was talking to the young people that were there. I says this. I say, have you noticed a bird? A bird will hatch in its mother's nest, but they will never go back to the mother's nest. They will leave their nest and build them a nest. Somebody got to build your own nest. And I was trying to get across this. So they never forget. The entire neighbor see me. Pastor, you said that I should build my own nest. Yes, that's what it's all about, building your own nest. That's not in my mess, but I threw it out in. but that's kind of what I was kind of thinking about, you know, in our lesson. And because so many children, they want to leave home, and they want to come back home, and they want to bring what they had out there, bring it back home. But when I left home, I left home, okay? And that's what it's all about. But so that wasn't in my message, okay? Though imperfect, yet Paul honored them by describing them as saints. And that is that they were faithful to Christ Jesus. In other words, the old had passed and they had become new creation, I know the King James used new creature, but here it says we have become new creations. And that creations are getting, it is a perpetual thing, always recreated and bringing in fresh breath and new life, bringing in new energy and bringing in new relation with God. Come new creations. And I was just thinking about that, how that should work. And that they were faithful in Christ. In other words, as I said, the old had passed away. Let me say this for verse 2. Paul was using important words, grace and peace. Grace expressed God's steadfast love towards mankind. And peace shows the relationship stated are results of grace. In other words, you cannot experience the peace of God until we experience the grace of God. Grace come first. Paul said in Ephesians 2:8, by grace are you saved and not of works, lest any man should boast. So grace has to come first. And after that, then we can have the peace of God, have the joy of God, have the love of God, have the contentment of God. So sometimes we can't put the cart before the horse. Sometimes we got to get peace, but no. There's no peace in this world, according to this old testament. But peace comes because of the fact that this thing that God has put in us, it has a tendency to bring us to a place of peace. It's because of the grace of God that we have the peace of God and we can have the love of God. Amen? Okay, I hear kind of quietness over there. You know, I like to hear once in a while have a little, you know. But, anyway, so we see that the grace of God, which draws our attention to Ephesians, as I said a few minutes ago about 2:8, and you know we're talking about grace. But then I want to bump the preferences as I was kind of doing some things. I'm looking at as Paul was talking here, and we're going to go drop down to we're going to drop down to. And then I get my notes all squared away. We're going to drop down to verse three, and we can. St. Paul has already gave his introduction in verse 2 and things like that. And I call this here the fountain of praise. I call this the fountain of praise, and I don't know why I did that. It's because Paul says some very specific things there in that verse, okay? He said, blessed be the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, and blessed be us, the Spirit of God, blessed us in all heavenly places. So we see that we haven't said that of these, that the Ephesian church was made saints of God by the will of God and pronounced blessings upon them by receiving his grace and peace. He now burst forth with a sense of praise and a sense of blessing when he talks about blessing the Lord. So we see that Paul was so in tune to this whole thing that what God had done for him, and I get the idea when I was studying, I get the idea that Paul was not only talking to the church body itself, but it's difficult for us as leaders to preach to someone else without first preaching to ourselves. And I got there that Paul was talking about himself because he knew where he had been and what had happened to him and how God had stopped him on Damascus Road and then empowered him with the Holy Spirit and be able to give him the power to do great and wondrous things. And he said, I just want to let you know to bless the Lord. See, sometimes we, the scriptures here, and it's also, bless the Lord at all times, and praise shall continue to be in my mouth. Sometimes, you know, God said, if I was hungry, I wouldn't ask you for anything. He said, but I do love for somebody just to praise me. I love somebody just to bless me. Bless the Lord. Give praises to God. That's what it's all about. Just being able to give back. You don't, all the riches in this world, even Solomon's temple and all his great wealth, he could not do sufficiently to give God what he deserved because he's God. He have all the things. But he just wants us to give back. some praises, some adorations. Have you ever thought about that? That God just wants us to be people that love, that will bless him, just praise him and give him glory, give him honor. That's all he wants. We don't have sufficiency to give him anything. I know we might give back our tithes and that offering, all that kind of stuff. But that's not what he wants. He wants us to give out the resources and out the resources of our very soul and our very, he wants to give it out to him and that he might be glorified. So Paul brought forth. God had done for him and outside. But what he had done in their lives, that's why in verse 3 he extolled God with the good word blessed. And sometimes that word be translated happy. 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 Sometimes in New Testament it can be spoke about that. Have to be blessed in God and the Father of our Lord Savior Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings. Oh, yes, he has blessed us, many of us, with the finances, with the means to take care of ourselves. Things. He has blessed us, but then God in turn gives us, when we give out, he give back to us spiritual blessings. Amen. Spiritual blessings. Have you received spiritual blessings today? How many years have you, God allowed you just to experience? Have you ever think about God just giving back? You give forth, he give back. You give forth, he give back to us. Wonderful blessings, that our mind cannot begin to fathom. And he gives our spiritual blessing. He said, in heavenly place, or in the heavenlies, in Christ, he let them know, and us, we are not spiritual paupers, okay? We are not spiritual paupers. We are somebody. Because Jesus Christ, when he birthed into our soul, he gave us the wealth of heaven and everything else. And so we become children of his. And he wants us to have the best. He wants to give us the best that he wants. And so we sometimes become people of poor mouths. We don't know how to praise him. But let us learn how to praise him. Praise him in spite of what we are going through sometimes. Sometimes we just got to learn how to praise past those things. Amen. Cause those things going to life and life, life's going to bring us some situation that we cannot do anything about. But sometimes when you praise him, it takes your mind away from the circumstances that we endure and we're going through. So learn how to give forth and let God give back. Okay. Spiritual paupers who live in a poor and run down condition because as we are no longer have our Satan as our landlord. We have changed landlords, saints. We have changed landlords that loves us and concerned about us and cares for us. Our Lord. Says of God, we should say in the words of David in Psalm 34:1, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praises shall continually, perpetually be in my mouth all day long to worship him. That's what he's trying to get us to understand. And we should take those words because God is in his mercy has opened heaven unto us who was without hope. As Gentiles, we were without hope. We was alienated. And Paul said from the commonwealth of God. But God saw fit in his infinite mercy to bring us into this great movement called this Christian movement. And Jesus, because Jesus died. Paul said this, the scripture says there's neither Jew nor Gentile, nor bond nor free. God has made us all one in the oneness of God, in the oneness of his love, in the oneness of his joy, in the oneness of his peace. And not on that, but it talks about we have become heirs. If you listen to that verse, heirs. What is an heir? Somebody that receive. I know in order to be true, you can designate somebody to become heir, but you're not going to get it while that person alive. But one thing about it, God has made us that because Jesus Christ is still alive and we are heirs to all that God has given him. We are the recipient of all those, all that he has given to him. So we're not only heirs, but we are joint heirs with him in Christ. You remember that? We are joint heirs. So that's, I'm just trying to get us to understand that we are so special to God that he made us heirs to everything that heaven has. Now, we're not going to get it all down here, okay? I know you get some down here, but don't ever get the idea that you're going to get it all down here. Some people may try, you know, like a Donald Trump's and all the kind of people. Maybe trying now, but they may try to get it all down here, but that's going to all fade away because that's going to go out of existence. Have you ever seen a U-Haul behind a hearse?
No.
Have you seen one? Huh? Everything that you ever have down here, it's going to be left behind. But what we store up in heaven, what we store up in heaven, it's going to last. It's going to last throughout eternity. When Paul talked about it in Hebrew, talked about the fact that he would never leave you and not forsake you. Don't you know that? Sometimes we get that. We want to place that for this dominion down here on this earth. But sometimes I get the idea that's not only for, that's part of this earth, but I believe that it's far richer than just this earth. I get it. Even in heaven, he's not going to leave me. He's not going to forsake me. That everything that he promised me, that is going to be, is stored up in heaven for me. Because I'm an heir. And I'm a joint heir. And you talking about the wealth and the riches of heaven? This earth has nothing compared to what God has in heaven. We don't understand heaven and what the riches and the vastness is going to be. But while we can surmise, and that's why we always pressing towards it, because we believe there's something greater than dying. Why are you a Christian? Why are you a believer? It's not because of the fact that it's going to keep you out of hell. It's because that you know that God has something far richer than you can, even your mind can begin to fathom. You realize that? That you're somebody in Christ. Let me move on. My time is coming. And just all that riches that God has in the kingdom. You know, our shout of praise should go out every time we think about that. How God has blessed us in all heavenly places. And you know, I put down here in my second point here, God had us in mind. Oh God, that's marvelous, isn't it? Would you want to serve a God that did not have you in mind? Would you want to worship a God that didn't have you in mind? You find that in verse 4. Says the God, let us look at the A part of verse 4. According to our verse, we are not begotten by happenstance. That is by chance into God's royal family. But we were chosen of God before the foundation of the world. You realize that? That God had us all in mind. You might say, well, I came to Jesus because of my mother, because of my dad, because of this, all these kinds. You may use all those kinds, but it was not. It was the fact that God had a preordained plan for us to be Christian, to be a part of his church family. You may be a small segment here in this particular local area, but if you let your minds kind of span out, you find that there are many local bodies, people that you have never seen before, would never see them on this side of life, but they make up this great vast body that God has ordained to be so. And we are just inclusive in it. Amen. God, you know, my mind does crazy things sometimes. And I just kind of contemplate and think about, How great. Sometimes we sing that song, how great thou art. How great thou art. But even our small minds cannot conceive the vastness of this earth. We cannot conceive the vastness of heaven. We cannot conceive that because we are finite creatures. And you know, sometime I do some crazy thing. I thought about it. Says even when we get to heaven, there gonna be some things we're gonna still be finding out. We're gonna be still God got such a mystery. Got such a mystery. He's not gonna let us find it all out at one time. He said, as long as you stay here, you're gonna be finding out some things. Oh. Oh my Lord. The truth is there can be no choice but without distinction. Talking about predestiny. There cannot be to be chosen, cannot be any choice without some distinction. To tell us the object of God's choice that we should be holy. That's what God designed us to be, and that's what we just ascribe to be, is to be holy and love. It was the highest love God could show in choosing us to be his children and to give us heaven best. And the Lord Jesus Christ, what a blessing he has bestowed upon me. There should be a praise that come from our lips. And then my last point here is, in verse 5 and 6, going to conclude those, God's grace. Pastor Miles, you may look at it a little bit different, which is fine. But God's grace, this is the way that God gave it to me. God's grace. His grace. This grace come from God, through God, through Jesus Christ, down to us by the aid of the Holy Spirit. Says God, I do not intend, as I said, to go into discussion about predestination, chosen, and all kinds of things. That's not my job. I'm going to leave that to the pastor. But because there are varied views on this particular matter, idea. The purpose of this message is to show to us we are special to God in that he adopted us as his children by Jesus Christ for his good pleasure. Allow me to do something and try to bring out the riches of this word adoption to some degree. When I be expanded completely. I like to liken it unto a child in an adoption agent waiting to be adopted. A special earthly father may come by and say, I want to adopt that child. A special heavenly father, parent, God saw us there and picked us out. He picked you and me out. He picked us out of this orphanages, out of this adoption agency of this world, and made us a very special people. And adopted us and brought us into his royal family, giving us all rights and privileges. We have privileges that we have not begun to tap into. The riches of God's love, the riches of God's mercy, we have not begun to tap into those resources through Christ Jesus. Yes, we were in the adoption agency of this world. We had no hope. But Paul in Ephesians 2 and 12 tells us what we were without hope in Christ. Void of his blessing. But now in Christ Jesus, you and we who sometime was afar off are made nigh by the blood of Jesus Christ. How was that made possible? It was made possible by God sending his son into the world, the name of Jesus in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever, now watch that word that whosoever, sitting right in the middle of John 3:16, a prefix and suffix, right in the middle. Because everybody in this world has always been a whosoever. We have never been what we, not what we used to be, but we whosoever stands right there, gives us, put us right between, like the two crosses, the thieves on the cross, Jesus, whosoever stands right in the middle of us and said, whosoever come unto me, let him deny himself and come unto me. And I wasn't all kinds cast out. Right and left. But Jesus, whosoever stands right there. I don't know if you saw it that way. That's just me. Okay, I put it that way. I said do some stuff, okay? The world that gave us only begotten son, that we should not perish, but have everlasting life. Saints of God, don't look at yourself as a spiritual pauper. But look at yourself as somebody. And that God is taking care of you. He loves you. He loves me. Sometimes people ask me, brother preacher, or pastor, what do you call me? What am I here for? What are you asking? What are you here for? Have you not found out yet what you are here for? You're here to bring glory and honor to God. Whether you amass a great amount of riches, but more than anything, you're here to bring glory and honor to God. And we should strive. We should strive to do that. And we should press into that. Press into it at all costs, at all times. Because the benefits outweighs this world's riches. As I said a few minutes ago, what God has in heaven, I know Solomon kingdom was a vast kingdom. I know that this world down here is vast beyond our wise upkin, but there is nothing that can be compared. When we begin to allow our minds to move beyond this earthly domain and move heavenward. See, sometimes we get trapped down here and we fail to look heavenward. To the glorious benefit. I'm not in a hurry getting out of here, okay? I'm not in a hurry getting out. I mean, I want to stay around as long as I can. But I just want to let us know that we are not spiritual paupers down as well. That God has made us somebody. He made us unique. He made us different. He made us different. He made us more than anything to be a holy nation. And God has adopted us into his royal family. He adopted us into his royal family. That we might all be holy and give glory and give honor to him. This is my message to you on this Father's Day. Don't sell yourself short, but look out. As I said on last week, change your focus. At this time, I believe it'd be always proper to offer to those I don't know your place in Christ, your relationship in Christ. I don't know that, and I don't think the pastor even know well not everybody in this congregation is saved. I don't know that because we don't have the power to look into each person's heart. We don't have the power to do that. But God does offer us the opportunity to offer you the opportunity to receive him as your Lord and as your Savior. So there may be one here who have not made a decision for citizenship in heaven, or you may have come from some other church that you have not made your decision of where church you want to establish yourself at. Whatever the case might be, you may even want to come under watch care. Whatever the case might be, I believe that God has an open door policy that we who may not be a part of the royal family, he has an open door policy. He has an open arm. That is stretched forth to come unto me, all that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest unto your soul. But you, if you have not made a decision today, and if you trust God with your eternal destiny, who said, I'll never leave you, nor forsake you. Now in this earth, now in the heavenly realm. Okay? Would you trust Jesus Christ today? God bless you. Father, we thank you for this time that you allow me, Almighty God, to stand here in the presence of these your people and just to expound from the best of my ability and best of my wisdom, God, what you have given to me. We thank you, Holy Spirit, for what you revealed to me and how you revealed it to me. It maybe could be contrary to some way of people are thinking, but God, that's the way you gave it to me. And I want to let you know I appreciate you giving it to me in the way that you gave it to me, God, that it might be able to be a blessing to somebody else. It's in Jesus' name we pray and ask it all. Amen. Thank you, Jesus.